Welcome to tonight's episode of Well-Rounded Corners. I'm Ruth Ann, and Robert is going to be our special guest tonight. He's usually my co-host, but Robert is an amazing person, and so I decided that I wanted to talk to him tonight about what's new in his life and something wonderful that's coming out that I'll explain to you in a moment. Before I tell you a little bit more about Robert, in case you don't know much about him from our previous shows, I'd like to remind everyone about our website, wellroundedcorners.com. You can also listen to us in the archives of our BBS radio page or live every other Tuesday on BBS Radio Channel 1. And the show will be on wellroundedcorners.com within usually about 48 hours of the show. So either way, you can listen to us and keep up with all the wonderful gifts we have. And tonight, as I said, we have Robert with us. And Robert is not only the co-host of this program usually, but a trade-published technical and nonfiction writer, a computer programmer, technical expert, a Reiki master, a small business owner, and so many other wonderful things. And one reason we have him, the biggest reason we have him on tonight, is that Robert has a book that's about to come out. And I have read this book, and it is, you know, it is a wonderful book. And so I wanted to take this opportunity to talk with you and share with you about this book. And instead of going on about it myself, which I could, I'm just going to go ahead and say, hello, Robert, welcome as a guest this time. And please tell us anything else that I didn't say about you that you'd like us to know, and tell us about your book.
I'm Aquarius, so I'm kind of annoying sometimes. No, I that's the only thing I think you left out. But no, I think I'm really excited about the book. You mentioned that I'm a nonfiction author. Yeah, I have written a lot of nonfiction pieces. Most of my writing has been documentation and corporate business material and things like that. But I wanted probably the first time I was ever exposed to any kind of sci-fi / fantasy stuff, I wanted to write a story. That's just always been something I wanted to do. So I finally, you know, since the end of the world is coming in 2-3 days, I figured might as well go ahead and start doing it.
Now that was a whole different show.
Yeah, we addressed that last time, or 2 times ago.
But. Well, I'm really glad that I personally don't think it's going to end, because I'm glad that you're going to be able to share your book with us. I've talked to you many times while you were writing the book about, you know, about what it was about, and you really wouldn't say a lot. But I know that when I picked up the book, you know, you asked me to read it, and I thought, okay, well, I'm going to read it. And you know, when someone asks you to read their book before it's published, you go, I hope this is really good so that I can be honest. And I was honest. I found myself reading it, and I just completely forgot after about 4 pages that you'd asked me to read it. And I just got caught up in the plot. I got caught up in the characters. For me, and honestly for everyone that listens to this show and to BBS, it is something that the topic's something that I really think everyone will enjoy. And what was the name of the book again?
Oh, the name of the book is The Bravest of Souls, and I do think that people will like it that are in our audience and like probably most of the BBS audience, actually, because it deals with a lot of – it is a story that cannot really exist in our framework as we have it now of reality, our very limited framework that we see things in reality. Yes, that is something that is it's a very, you know, I just sort of lost my train of thought there, but I do think anybody interested in sci-fi and fantasy, it is a fantasy book, really not much sci-fi to it. It's more high fantasy, but I do think that anybody interested in that field will like it. It definitely has a lot of fantasy elements. It deals with magic. It deals with perception and the way that the universe works, and it just sort of you know, it really touches on all those topics.
Well, what I enjoyed about it was that, as I said, I got caught right up in the plot. But what I really enjoyed about it was that it touched on so many things that I'm interested in. And the wonderful thing I thought about it was that you wove all the elements. You wove energy work into it. You wove being positive into it. You wove karma. I don't remember if you specifically said karma, but you wove all
that
the elements.
Of it, you know.
Yeah, the concept of it. You wove how important what you say and you think are. You wove so many things together. And unless you really sat back and thought about it, you didn't even notice that you were that you were learning. I mean, it's very, very enjoyable to me. Can you tell us a little bit about, you know, I know you said you'd always wanted to write, and I know that you have, but can you tell us, where did you pull from for your characters and for your plot?
Well, first of all, yes, I am trying to tell not only a story, but there is sort of a, there's a narrative on my view of the universe in the book. And, you know, it's not a, I'm not trying to preach or even inform. It's really told in a story format. So I just wanted to address that. But, the motivation for the book, well, like I said, I always wanted to write a fantasy book. You know, I remember writing an early chapter. It wasn't this story, but it was something completely different. Long ago, gosh, I think I was 13, you know, and I wrote a few chapters of something, and it was based off of it was just influenced of the stuff around the time. Now I have, you know, now about 2 or 3 years ago, after, you know, quite a big transformation in myself, I felt that there was a story that needed to be told. It's not my story, but yet it does seem to come from, I don't know where it comes from. You know, you hear about automatic writing and things like that, and I'm not saying that this is that. It is not. But a lot of the plot and a lot of the stuff, it just came to me, and it's almost as though I'm telling somebody else's story. As I was writing it, I kind of felt like I was kind of anxious to see what would happen. It was almost like I was reading it, you know.
That's a wonderful way to write, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it really felt like it really honestly felt like that I was simply being, you know, sort of along for the ride. So I'd finish a chapter and then, you know, I'd get to the next chapter and be like, oh, so that's what's going to happen. Okay. You know, it starts with a character named Niv. Her full name is Niv Liana, but it just starts with, you know, her nickname's Niv, and starts with her, and she sort of accidentally stumbles upon something that she, a heritage and a legacy that had been hidden from her. And it's a magical heritage. It is a very strong lineage she has of magic. And, you know, she's introduced to that by her mother, and she doesn't really, you know, it says in the book, we call it magic, but, you know, there's a bit in there that talks about, it's not really magic. It's just because what we call magic, and this is a direct correlation of what I believe, what we call magic today. I think that word is so horribly overused, because it's not magic. It's just a different way of dealing with reality. You know, if you take a cup and you move it across the table, you push it across the table, or if you bend a spoon, well, you can bend it with your fingers, or, you know, that Russian woman could bend a spoon with her mind or whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't really matter how you do it. It's just done. You're changing reality. You're imposing your will on reality. And throughout the book, you know, she discovers that this is not some mystical magic thing. It is just a very advanced way of dealing with the world around her. And, so, you know, that's sort of a little bit of me interjecting my view of things in there. But yeah, it starts off very, you know, like it you kind of learn and discover things through her and discover the plot through her, because she's, she's completely new to this stuff. You know, the books makes no assumptions that you know anything about anything metaphysical. You don't have to, and you don't need to by the end. It's just the purpose of it is to entertain. And if there's something in there that is more than that, then that's cool too.
Well, what I like about it too is I noticed after I read it, and then I step back and, you know, when you had actually asked me what I thought about it, and I had to sit and think about it, you know, and try to figure out exactly how to explain how I felt. And I've realized since then that what I like about this book is that, and I mean, let me tell you, for anyone listening, I have been an avid reader since I was 3, and I'm, well, let's just say a lot older than 3 now. and I'm the type that, you know,
you're at least
when
5.
At least 5, yes, I am. You know, a 5 plus, well, we won't say. But anyway, and, you know, I've read an awful lot of books, and I have to say that this book, to me, I like the way, excuse me, see, I got all choked up about it. I like the way that when I stepped back and looked, I could see a bigger picture about it, and I don't know how much of this was your intent. Or was that the way the story is told, it speaks to a bigger story. For instance, you talked about your lineage, and it is about her legacy, and actually the legacy of all your characters. And what I love about it is that it is so true that you said she's learning about her lineage. And, you know, we can be 80 years old and still have no clue what our parents did when they were younger, where we came from, why they did what they did, why they parented how they did, you know, and the most important thing is we have an opportunity to learn what our gifts are and what our challenges are. And I like the way you develop through the plot, you know, what her gifts are and her challenges are. Geez, it's pretty scary to find out that your parents are a lot more gifted and well known than you think they are. You know, that's a challenge, and I was really, really interested as I was reading to find out, you know, just how was she going to handle that?
Yeah, it's well, you know, I've always heard that, you know, when you're telling a story about something that exists outside of normal experience, that it's best to tell it through the eyes of someone who is being introduced to it as well. You know, when you, that's why books like, and movies, subsequent movies like The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings were so successful because, you know, even though Frodo knew a little bit about the world, most of it was actually past the Shire, he didn't really know much when, you know, they had never gone that far. And that when they crossed out of it, you saw the world, you learned about the world through his eyes. He became, he became your tour guide. And, you have to do that with science fiction and fantasy because it is an experience outside of our normal thing. And so I use that as a guide and everybody, you know, and I kind of kept that a goal was to keep that fresh through the book. When Niv started getting familiar with things, then, you know, as a new character became introduced, they would sort of take over that guide role and just so that, you know, some fantasy books that I've read are so steeped in their own mythology, and they're good books, but they're very steeped in their own mythology, and there's a whole universe that surrounds them, and it can be really tough to crack into that universe. It almost is like you need an encyclopedia to get started in it. And
true.
In this book, I bootstrap you into it. Mm-hmm. There is no prerequisites, you know, and I felt that was very important. It has to be readable, and it's in modern prose. It's not in some kind of strange dialect that you'll sit there and strain your eyes over. It's very readable, and that's the goal. I want people to enjoy it, and I think it's also appropriate for you know, young adults too. I think they'd like it. I don't know how old, you know. I don't know if I don't. It's certainly not for kids, but they're. I could see teenagers enjoying it too. So, you know,
but you know, I mean, I have twins that are almost 9 and they read, you know, very several grades ahead of, they're able to read that high. And, but I don't obviously let them read a lot of books that they could read technically because the content is just not appropriate, obviously. Sure. And it's scary or violent or there's a lot of sexual content, you know, things like that. But I have to say, anyone out there who is considering reading it, I just have to say that the way you handle, there is violence in the book, but I have to say, when I think about it, I think my kids could read this book and not too much because they understand concepts a little bit older than their age. I agree with you. I don't think this is a, I think this is one of those books where a teenager would read it and get, have a wonderful reading experience, get a lot out of it, learn some things about consequences for that matter. You know, maybe see a little bit bigger of a picture and thoroughly enjoy it. And, but I also can see how I, as an adult who's a little bit older than a teenager, excuse me, got really, really caught up in it. And I probably would get a completely different set of things from the book than the teenager would, although we would both totally get it, you know, caught up in it and enjoy it. So I think that's really good because, and I got to say, you didn't have the violence gratuitous. You didn't have such sexual content that you get caught up in that. But there's definitely all factors. You have love, you have war, you have fighting, you have peace, you have very subtle manipulation, you have healing, you have hurt. And the way you put it together, you know, it's not anything that is traumatizing to anybody. It's, I thought it was a very healing story myself. That's what I enjoyed about it.
Yeah. I you know, at first I wasn't happy with it. At first it took a lot of, you know, the first draft was, it was done, but I felt it really was too verbose in some places and not enough in others. And so, you know, during editing, we trimmed down, well, it was 530 pages before editing, and we're almost done with editing, and just 95%. It's just, you know, we're so close, just literally weeks here before we're ready to send it out. But we trimmed off almost 40 pages of content, and it wasn't that the content didn't serve a purpose. It's just that we wanted to keep the pace of the story up, and you know, and after the edits, I mean, it moves along pretty quickly, but not so quickly that you don't have time to absorb the, you know, to absorb it. Sometimes things are edited down too much, and it just moves, and you do get a place to catch a breath sometimes, you know, in there. I think that's important too. I think we live in such a fast society. We want our entertainment fast, and yes, some things you do want to move, but you got to slow down, and you know. And this is a book. It's also very chapter friendly too. I really designed it for the reader in mind. I don't like reading books where chapters are 50 pages long. This sounds like a very silly reason, but I like simple chapters because I may not have hours to read. I want to just read. Maybe I've got 15 minutes while waiting on something. You know,
absolutely agree with you. And you know what? Speaking of chapters, we are going to take a break here. And we will be right back in just a few moments. And I have some more questions to ask Robert about his book and how he came to write some of the things he wrote. So we'll be right back in just a few moments.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Ho Chi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Ho Chi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's alabamareiki.com. And welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. This is Ruth Ann, and we are talking to Robert, who is usually my co-host, about why I keep getting a frog in my throat. Excuse me.
I've got some theories on that, actually, if you'd like to.
Great.
You want to talk about the book, though.
Well, actually, that would be fine. I would love to know. Get out of my throat.
I have that, and it'll take me 10 minutes to clear it out, and I know people don't want to hear it, but, you know, I guess I just have to do it anyway, because otherwise there won't be any talking, you know, something to say, you just have to talk through the frog, I guess. But,
my frog. Yeah, I never thought I'd say that.
But
almost everyone I know has either been sick, is getting sick, or is very sick at the moment. And I just have to say, anybody who's sick, we feel your pain. In my house, everyone's been sick. And so, you know, we hope that none of you sound any worse than I sound tonight, which I'm not bad at all right now. So, but back to the book. Rob, I wanted to ask you, did you do something on purpose also that, and I know you can say, obviously I did this on purpose, but seriously,
You already know the answer. So,
yeah, I forget that question. Let's move on. No, seriously. I enjoy that if you are into magic, as you read your book, you will find those things that strike you that are familiar to you and you enjoy. But on the other hand, if you're more into energy work and healing, you know, healing work, you can find all kinds of things in the book that make you feel right at home, that you understand, that you resonate with. I kept finding myself shaking, nodding my head and saying, yes, 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 that makes sense. If you're someone who likes fantasy, you find that in there and you nod your head and enjoy it. If you like psychology and if you like just reading a wonderful book it's got a good pace, I just wonder, is that just your sparkling personality that just came across, or did you plan this? I mean, did you try to tie everything in your life together? Where did that come from? I love that perspective of so many different ways to read it.
It's the sparkling personality. I'm interested in quite a few things. I don't really discuss a lot of my personal views on things, at least on the show. Everybody else that knows me knows that I do nothing else but that. But on the show, I do try to keep a lot of my, I just don't broadcast a lot of my personal views. And I'm not really, it's funny, I wrote a book on magic, but yet I'm not really necessarily into magic. That may seem strange to some people, but that's because I really don't see magic. And I guess we'll use the pagan definition. I'm not really very well versed in pagan ways. I'm more lean the Buddhist way. But from what I understand it, you know, I mean, magic is seen as a power that comes from, you know, the elements, comes from the earth. It has a source. In my view, I believe that magic comes from us, and really magic is a very, very poor word. It is a, like I said earlier, it's a manifestation of our will. And I think just like the monks who have been said to float, you know, after hours of meditation, or who can, you know, go days without eating, and, you know, all these different things. this is really just a very finely tuned will. I believe solidly that if you meditate on something and can achieve enough focus, that you can accomplish anything. The problem is we don't have the time to do that oftentimes. I mean, you have to eat. You have to pay the bills. So, you know, you can't call in sick to work and say, well, you know, sorry, I'm not going to finish that report today because I'm meditating on it and willing it to happen. It's just not going to work that way.
Unless you're a Tibetan monk, and then I think
that would be a valid excuse. Yeah. But, yes. You know, so, but since I look at it from that perspective, I look at it in an agnostic fashion. And I tend, in my viewpoint on most things, is an agnostic fashion. I am interested in a lot of different things. And I want something that has a lot of different things in it when I look at books and entertainment. You know, I don't want to just be so narrow and focused that I don't get any further. I like a wide range of things. And so that's reflected in my book probably because that's just who I am. There's also a debate in the book about science versus magic. And even, in, you know, it's set in a medieval type time. They're just starting to get some technology, you know, steam type technology. But there is a debate about, you know, the old ways versus the new ways in the book. And eventually, you know, they're both a manifestation of the same thing. The lightning that some magician might be able to conjure is no different than the lightning that someone with a magnet and some coils of wire can conjure. It is the same thing. It is just generated a different way, and that is the theme throughout the book. Every way you look at things, it's only your perspective changes. We're all experiencing the same laws in our universe, and they're surprisingly flexible. And I mean, that's just what I think. And so there are so many different viewpoints. You address this through every character's eyes. Yes. And every character is just dramatically different. You know, a lot of them, I really wanted to make characters that had personalities and not, you know, cardboard kind of characters. And so every one of them deals with these things differently. Some of them don't really believe in magic. Yet they are standing there next to somebody when they use it. So it's an interesting, I think some of the same stuff goes on today, you know, when it comes to metaphysical works and stuff. You could see somebody using some sort of energetic work of healing somebody. You could see someone using some sort of psychic power or whatever. And you could say, well, I don't believe in that. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't happen, you know.
That's true. So. It's easy to say I don't believe that or in that, but that doesn't mean it's not there or it doesn't happen just because we don't believe in it, right?
I don't want people to get the impression this is not a preachy book at all. There are undertones about my view of the universe, and you'll find a lot of Eastern concepts in terms of the way reality works. You'll find a lot of Buddhist/pagan sort of influences to the book, but by no means is it a preachy book. It is not a book about religion. Nothing like that. It is it's just meant to entertain first, and you know anything else that comes from it is secondary.
Well, that was the nice part of it. I think that's what I was trying to say earlier and didn't say very well, that, you know, whatever background you come from, there's something in here that I think you'll find really interesting. When I read it, I kept nodding going, yes, yes, that will help the person. Yes, no, 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 you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Oh, I told you not to do that. You know, it was really interesting because you put nature, this is another thing I have to say. I love nature. I mean, nature, you know, is so healing. And what you did was you put nature in the way it should be as the backdrop and the part of everything we do in life. And, you know, I guess the way you wove everything together to me, put all the characters, I mean, even the characters that are pretty unpleasant people who do things that are just really what some people might say evil, you developed each character so that I didn't even really dislike the ones that were really nasty. In that, you know, I kind of understood where they were coming from. Now, you didn't excuse them, and you were not sympathetic necessarily. But on the other hand, I have to say that when I finished, I got to the last few pages, and I thought, oh, no, read slower, read slower, read slower. No, you got to read slower. You're almost there. Stop that. And so I read slower. I put it down that night. And I came back to it because I didn't want to finish it because I didn't want to finish it. And I came back, and then as I was reading the last few pages, I mean the last few sentences, I remember thinking, oh, now I'm going to go back to the library and get the next one, you know, the next in the series. And then I thought, you know, that, well, it's not written yet. And do you remember the first thing I did when I was finished? You asked me, what do you think? And I said, so is the second one started yet? Because – you ended it where I was so interested in every character that I just wanted to know what they were going to do next. And you know what? With all the sequels we have today, there are a lot of them that I think, really, I just
Do three of everything nowadays. If you don't, yes. If you don't do three of everything. Yeah.
So I want to know, why aren't you off writing?
I did not plan on making it a series at first. I really didn't. And I don't know that it'll ever be a full-fledged series. I do know this. The way that the book is written, it really demands a follow-up sequel to it. It certainly does.
Yes, it does.
It does leave plenty of things. It does wrap up plenty of things, but there are some things that really I think can definitely be expanded upon. And I don't like stories that wrap up in nice little neat packages.
Right.
Because I mean that's
life
just
doesn't do that.
Life doesn't work like that, and I just don't like that. So I don't wrap up everything in a nice little neat package. You know, life is tough, and that is something that's where the title of the book comes from, which actually I'll talk about that.
That's what I was about to ask you, actually.
Yeah, that's a separate topic, but life is tough, and so you have to go through trials. And they all don't work out the way you plan them, actually. Sometimes they don't.
That's true. But you know what I like, though, is that, as you said earlier, you didn't write about something that – these are really some pretty deep topics you're talking about in the book. But you didn't write them in a heavy way that you read it and you go, oh, my gosh, now I just am so depressed. It's not like that at all. There are some really tough and hard and difficult things that go on. But you don't come away from that book feeling – that things are hopeless. You come away from that book and there is that, you know what? It is going to be a lot better than I thought. Things are okay. It there was joy in there too. And there was peace in there in between other things. It was just, it was very, well, this is a good show to have you on. It was very well-rounded. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, it reflects my interest, and that's, I think, just such a wide range of things. And, you know, I kind of saw every character as – when I got to looking at the characters, I actually saw, oh, wait, they're all kind of like me. So, well, they're not like me, but there's a part of me in every one of them. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that would happen until after I mean, because I've basically read it three times now because I have first draft, second draft, and a final, and I discovered that there's a piece of me in every, or there, sorry, I see similarities. Obviously, not the evil. Well, everybody has a dark side, but you know, I have not. Anything like the like the villains in the book?
I sincerely hope not.
No.
But you know, you bring up a good point. Our shadow, as they call it in energy work, or our darker or shadow parts, are every bit as much as important as the cheerful, nice, sweet sides of us, and those are our strengths sometimes. And you know, when we've got to dig deep in and things are really hard, the shadow a lot of times is what really, if we turn and we you know, focus it in a positive way instead of giving into it and becoming that shadow, then, and I think that's what I was going to ask you, you know, those aspects of the characters, you know, did you get that from your life or, I mean, I'm not saying a specific event necessarily or a person in your life, but, you know, did any of the characters come from experiences from people you've known in your life, or were they all, as you said a little while ago, just, you know, parts of who we are?
I think there are some characters. There's one character in particular that is highly influenced by a friend of mine, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, most of the characters are not influenced by anybody in a great degree. I would say that I kind of felt like I identify with the lead character, which is strange because she's a girl. But other than, you know, gender, I did feel like, you know, that I went through some of the same things that she did. Having said that, though, there's a lot of differences past there. And really, yeah, none of them really come from reality. But I will say, though, they all, I kind of started them. I kind of set them in a mold, and they kind of became their own thing. Because, you know, there's one particular character in there that's a group of, well, actually there's two of this kind of character. And they're called Proctors. And they exist, they're creatures of balance. They exist only in balance. They strive for that. They don't make friends, and they try not to make enemies. And so both the good, quote unquote, the light, you know, and the dark, they don't trust them because they always seem to be outsiders, and they do only what is in their interest. They don't make alliances, and they strictly go for that balance. They keep in that balance, and I think through them, I sort of expound the belief that I think that you. Good, the side of light has just as many problems with it as the side of darkness. Because if you completely surround yourself in light, and I've only recently learned this, then you deny the darkness that is inherent within all of us. And if you deny and ignore that, that's more dangerous than anything else. You have to acknowledge that it's there. You have to say, okay, you know, there are dark parts of me that, you know, now, when I say dark parts, I don't mean parts that go and, you know, kill people and all that things. But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, but there are these parts, and we can't ignore them. And I think the Proctors have a very unique take on that because they are balanced. They exist in balance, and they don't really fall victim to either side. And they, like in a fantasy type setting, you could call their alignment, you know, truly neutral or perfectly neutral. And since they see the people of light, the good people, just as obnoxious as the people of darkness. And so that's sort of an interesting take. I don't think there's, you know, you have a lot of these stories that it's like good versus evil.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe doesn't tolerate either for very long. The universe prefers homeostasis. And, you know, it's built around that. Everything is built around that. Everything has its counter. And it doesn't swing one way too long. You know, that's the old saying. If you don't like bad news, just wait. Good news will come around. And if you like bad news, just endure the good times a little bit. You know, it'll be here. It's that balance. That's part of that's very important to these those particular kind of characters. And I want to say the Proctors, they were a mid story invention. I did not plan on them. They happened, and yet by the end, I was like, wow, these are really cool. These will definitely be very important in the next book because I really liked them.
Yeah, I did too. And, you know, I liked that it wasn't, as you said, all black and white, all, you know, everything is fits in its peg. Oh, that's a good person. That's a bad person. This is a good creature. That's it. Because life isn't like that. You know, you look at someone who's done things that you think are awful and you can sometimes see why. And sometimes we do things that we think are wonderful with good intentions and they turn out to be the most horrible things we could have done. And so I like that, you know, this kind of makes you look at life a little differently, I think. And it's one of those books where you enjoy it. You can read it and enjoy it. You can read it and learn something. You can read it and there is no telling you how you should read it. You get from it what you get from it. You know, what is your take on it? And there's no, as you said, preaching in it of what's right and wrong. And I like that. And
that's the
you know,
intention.
We, Yeah, we need to take another break here, and we will be back in just a moment with Robert, and we'll be right back.
Want to start a website but don't know how? No problem. The experts at OCS Solutions have you covered. We offer a complete range of internet services, from domain name registration, web hosting, and even our easy-to-use website building tool that allows you to create a website with just a few clicks and be live in minutes. Pick from thousands of templates and samples, upload your own content, or use a mix of both. It's entirely up to you. And don't worry, you won't outgrow OCS. We host websites both small and large. Domain names start at just $8 a year and come loaded with plenty of extras to get you started. Visit OCSDomains.com to learn more or call 1-800-672-8415. That's OCSDomains.com or call 1-800-672-8415.
Reiki is a Japanese relaxation technique that promotes healing and balance. It is a form of energy work that helps unblock areas that are affected by illness, stress, grief, anxiety, or other types of trauma, and it can be given in person or from the Reiki practitioner to the recipient at a distance. It is gentle and soothing and is simple to learn as well. Our bodies have the natural ability to maintain health and heal themselves when energy flows smoothly throughout our energy system. And Reiki works well either by itself or along with traditional or alternative medical treatments to help keep energy channels flowing and the mind and body in balance. I offer Reiki, the Hochi, and other types of energy sessions in my home in Florence, Alabama, as well as distance Reiki to any location in the world. I also teach Reiki classes from levels 1 through Karuna Reiki Master, as well as La Hochi. To learn more, please visit alabamareiki.com. That's AlabamaReiki.com.
And welcome back to Well-Rounded Corners. I am still Ruth Ann, and we are still talking to Robert. And Robert is, as we've said before, usually my co-host. And tonight he is my guest as well, or not even my co-host. Today he is my guest. We are talking mainly about his book that will be out. Just so that we make sure we do this, I know we've still got some time left, but I wanted to ask you, when do you expect your book to come out?
Well, it was originally slated to come out to be released the 21st of December, and I didn't plan on that date. It just sort of worked out that way. It looks like we're now looking at the first, January 1st of 2013. There are just a few things that took a little longer than expected, and it'll be available on Kindle and also in a printed. You can order a printed copy of it. It's paperback. But we're doing Kindle. You'll be able to buy it on Amazon. We'll have links to all that. And I know we'll get this information at the end, but I do want to go ahead and say right now we don't have the website up yet. So everything is going right now on the Facebook page of it. If you go to thebravestofsouls.com, just all spelled out, no spaces, no hyphens or whatever, thebravestofsouls.com. Or if you look it up, The Bravest of Souls on Facebook, you'll find it. Just give the page a like, and that way you can keep up to date with it. You'll get, you can see all the updates on it. You can see the cover, which is done. You can see how that's going to look. You can, when we release it, we'll be posting the links there where you can order it, and just putting up a whole bunch of cool stuff there. So check it out at thebravestofsouls.com.
Definitely. I want to ask you before we get off the topic of The Bravest of Souls, can you tell me, did you always have that name in mind, or why did you name it that?
No,
I love the name, but
yeah, I finished the book and had no idea what to call it, and I think we were in the middle of the second edit and still were having trouble. And I say we, Marsha was helping me figure out like how exactly we're, you know, she's really good with titles, and you know, we're just thinking, just couldn't think of it. And there's a part in the middle of it, and I mean, obviously, you really can't talk too much about it because it'll give it away. But there's a part in the middle of it where, you know, a character tells another that, you know, they basically ask, why is there, you know, the theory is that we all incarnate into this world, and we don't necessarily plan it out because there is fate, but we do choose more difficult paths. Some people choose more difficult paths. Some people choose easier paths. The people that choose more difficult paths, they learn more. They have more to learn in this life. They have more to do in this life, more to experience in this life. They signed up for an extended ride, for example, you know, on an amusement park ride or whatever. And the book asserts that these people are they're the bravest. We're all brave for coming here. This life is tough. This is not an easy life. You know, we're all brave, but there's some people that really have picked through their, you know, during the incarnation process, it's a really tough road to learn the most from, and those are the bravest people. And that's where the title comes from, the bravest of souls. They endure a difficult path because it has the most to teach. And that's where the title comes from. That's where the title comes from.
Wow, I am glad you explained that. I don't think I had asked that before. And, you know, I think you're so right in that. That title just really struck me when I read it the first time because, you know, I think that is so true. It takes a lot more courage to walk a path that you know ahead of time is going to be a hard one, but you're willing to take the chance and learn the lessons. I mean, that is, you know, that does take courage and that does take bravery. And you know, I think, and from your book, I know you think that we all have this within us. It's a matter of finding it. And I love that you, the characters, you know, they bond in one way or another. And it's very interesting to me that some bond in negative ways and some bond in positive ways. And, the lead character has a friend that just, you know, we would all love to have a friend like that. But what I love about her is she's not perfect. And that's the best part of it. You know, everyone has so many shades to us. I mean, we're not all white or all black or we're people. And so what I really enjoy is that you took all of your life experience and all of your reading and all of your interests, and you manage to make a wonderful story out of it. A very entertaining, pleasant, intense story. And that's quite an accomplishment. You know, I mean, I realize that you are my co-host, and so it would be very, very easy for me to just say, oh, it's a wonderful book. Everybody should read it. But this, you know, I really wouldn't say that. I'm not saying I would say that sucks. You shouldn't have written it. But, you know, I don't mean that. But I wouldn't recommend it if I didn't believe that this is a really good book and if I didn't want you to hurry up and get off the radio and go sit down and write the next one.
Yeah, what am I doing here?
No, well, I mean, I'll give you till the end of the hour, and then if you'll go right, I'd appreciate it. How's that?
Well, yeah, it's no, I appreciate it. I mean, I've gotten good feedback on it, and you know, I told people, you know, I want honest feedback because I mean, and I've received feedback that I think has helped me, and it is not all, you know, it's a collaborative effort in a way because you know, there's been a lot of people that have really helped. You know, first, and you know, I lay that out in the dedication, but I mean, you know, first of all, I wouldn't have been able to do this, any of this work, without, you know, Marcia, my fiance. She helped me, put this together in a way that made sense and that was, cohesive. And it wouldn't have been what it is without her help. There's just no way. It would not have been readable, enjoyable. It would have been a collection of notes. And my editor, Brian Corrigan, he has taken the book and turned it you know, added about 1,000 commas. I didn't realize how many commas I'd missed. I just, you know, I was just going through it. It's the first draft, but, you know, I really missed a lot of those. And you know, he really helped, you know, saying, okay, well, you don't need this here, you know. This is about to happen, you know. Do you think she's going to let him just sleep in if this is about to happen? You know, and I was like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, I guess there's this in, you probably know where I'm talking about now that I referenced that. Just go ahead and sleep in. You look so peaceful there. And I mean, you know, there's an attack coming. The town's under attack, but no, you just sleep in.
And no, well, so that see, would be, you know, kind of life nowadays, wouldn't it? Nothing to see here. That is a parallel,
actually. Yes, but no. So I mean, you know, there's some interesting things that like that that I had to fix that I just didn't even realize that were there. And just some continuity issues that, you know, needed addressing. And so, yeah, his work was definitely invaluable in that. I've gotten advice from, several friends, relatives that it has been invaluable. And I mean, you provided some feedback on it. All of that has been amalgamated into the work. And so it is, I really consider it a collaborative effort because it is not a, you know, there are other people's ideas and suggestions in it as well. So,
well, you know, I've come to think that anytime we write, I'm not a published author or anything. But I do like to write. I think everything that we write is kind of a collaborative effort. In that, as you said, if you write something that's really good, and by that I mean that really can touch someone, you know, in some way or another. I think it is a collaborative effort. You know, you get guided by something, whatever you want to frame it as, whether it's God or your spirit guides or great spirit or the universe or your mind or whatever it is, your experiences in life. You really do have a collaborative effort there. But I think what it comes down to is how you can filter all of the collaboration and make it your own. You know, I think it, I'm sorry, I apologize in advance for bringing this up, but it reminded me of American Idol when the singers would sing and they would sing a Barbara Streisand song and the judges would say, yes, but you're not Barbara Streisand and you should have made that your own. And what you've done is take everything you've experienced and you have made it your own and, you know, taken all the advice you got and all the help you got, and you wrote a great book. And I don't know what else I can say except that I just sincerely hope you do sit down and write more. How long did this book take you to write from when you first got the idea and actually sat down and wrote to now?
It's been about 2 years, but it would have gone quicker if I had worked on it full time. But I mean, you know, I do have a full time job and other interests. So I mean, there was a phase where it I'd say 2/3 in, I started writing nearly a chapter a day, and that's when it really started, you know, getting things going. But the first half of the book did take about 70%, 60% of the writing time. More, you know, more of it was focused towards the beginning. It's harder to get it going, but I also had more other obligations. And then, you know, as I got towards the end, I started putting other obligations off just because, wow, you know, I've got to get this done. It's right at the end, you know. And when I was at the end, I was happy that it was done. I didn't really think of it as an accomplishment until I finished it.
So you did come to a point when you, I know we always think, you know, I could have this or I could have that, but did you get to a point where you just felt like it was done? It was ready. I know we always think, well, what if this or how could I have that? But
well, that,
I mean,
that
I guess
point,
I'm
that
asking,
point,
did
it's
you
really
feel
now,
satisfied?
It's really, well, I haven't really felt, I didn't really feel 100% satisfied until the, Well, I don't know that you ever are 100% satisfied with the work. So I'll probably say never to that. But right now, it is the best shape it's going to be.
It is.
And I mean, I only have about, it's about 10 chapters remaining to go through. and just a very small sliver of the book. It's going to have like 95 chapters, so it's very, but they're small chapters. You know, most chapters
yes,
are very
they
small,
are. And I enjoyed that actually.
Yeah, so it's not like 20 chapters, but each one is 50 pages. So.
Right. Okay. Well, yeah. Please, if you'll just wrap that up once more for us. We've got just a couple of little bit of minutes here, and if you'll just wrap that up for us again, it'll come out in January. You said at the beginning of January. And how can people find it?
I'm thinking January 1st. But you don't have to wait for it to come out. This is what I recommend doing because I'm very busy and I can't keep track of a lot of things myself. I'll never remember that it came out the first. Go to thebravestofsouls.com. Or if you're on Facebook, just go to search The Braves of Souls. You'll find the page. Just like the page. And when it's released, you'll see an update. You can see a picture of the cover. We'll have this on, and you know, I can say this because I'm the co-host. We'll have it on the website. I do a lot of the – I was going to say this is odd for a guest to say this, but no. We'll have the link to it on the website. You'll be able to find it there. But yeah, thebravestofsouls.com, just go there, like it, and you will be able to order it off Amazon. You'll be able to order it as a Kindle book. You can read it on Kindle. And Kindle nowadays, I just want to say, you don't have to have a Kindle to read it on Kindle. With Amazon now, you can read it right in your browser. So you don't have to have a Kindle.
Wow.
You just use your laptop or your computer. You can view it on all sorts of devices, Kindles, iPhones, iPads,
I didn't know that.
Android tablets.
I'm so blind.
Yeah. Oh no, you can read this on your iPhone. Like, I mean, you know, you can read it on your iPad. Your pretty much if your device has a screen, you'll be able to read it. So.
Well, now see, I really learned something.
You'll be able to hold it in your hands too. You'll be able to order a printed copy. I know a lot of people like to hold books in their hands and read the book.
I confess.
You will be able to order it as a printed book and
wonderful.
Yeah, and I'd like to too. Also, we'll be offering some things on the website about that a little later. I want to sort of give our listeners here a little something extra with it. So I when this comes out, if you'll like the page, like Well Rounded Corners, go to Well Rounded Corners, like us on Facebook there, and like the Brave Souls page. Keep in tune with those two pages. We'll have a great offer there, but.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Facebook
well,
pages.
You know, thank you so much for taking the time to just answer our questions or my questions. I guess I shouldn't say, well, I don't know. Who knows? Nowadays, you never know who's with you. Anyway, I am so glad that you took some time and just sat down and chatted with me about the book. And I just, you know, I'm not saying this just because I know you and you're my co-host, but it's an awesome book. And I'm just glad that I'll see you next time as my co-host again. And thank you, anybody who listened, everyone who listened. And please take care of yourself and have a wonderful time until we see you again. And thank you.